The following is an episode of the Father More podcast, and my guest on this episode is Nick Fowler. Nick Fowler is the head of strength and conditioning for Brute Strength, which does a lot of online strength and conditioning programming for athletes all over the world in many different sports. And Nick is a really interesting guy. I got a chance to know him a lot better during this interview. He has a lot of facets to his life that I didn't know about. And before we even decided to pursue having him as a guest on the podcast, I didn't even know he had kids. So it was really interesting to learn that there was a lot to his life that he doesn't particularly share very freely and isn't commonly known. And he had a very adventurous life. I mean, he was a professional climber, world records. He has a history as a firefighter, a wildlands firefighter on the rappel team. So he just like is living this like very high adrenaline life. Very, very free is not quite the word, but it's more like a really, really extreme ownership of his team and his responsibilities and his life and his control, and then having to sort of adapt to letting go of a lot of that when he and his wife have their two daughters who are now entering that age, you know, teen to preteen, where they don't really want to do a lot of things with him or share the same interests that he does. It was really interesting to get a chance to talk to him about, you know, how seriously he takes this process of being a dad and what types of ups and downs there are throughout the years of being a dad, the things he remembers the most, the things he kind of maybe wishes he had done a little bit differently, and not so much about regret, but about this idea of there's lost opportunities that he could have just gotten a little bit more out of that would have improved the already happy life and relationship that he has to be even greater. And I really appreciated talking to him about that, because it was interesting to hear him explain that it's not necessarily like there's a somber side, there's a serious side, there's a side of almost you have to mourn part of your existence being turned into and your energy being turned into what it's like being with, you know, what it's like being a father and a husband in the situations that they find themselves in. I've really found that to be a fascinating conversation. I think you will as well. So enjoy and take care. So I guess, you know, we had this conversation earlier this week where we kind of like primed a little bit of what we were going to be talking about. And one of the things that struck me was this sort of like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but this sort of like push pull that you have and like the various aspects of your life. You know, you have two daughters, teenage daughters. Is that right?
So I get one of them's a teenager. Thank God I only got one. The other one's 10 years old. So the other one is catching up quick.
You have a teenager and a 10-ager. Yeah.
Yes. Who thinks she's 16? So maybe it's all the same. I don't know.
So you have this push pull going on with your various roles of like, you know, you're a dad to two daughters, and yet you also have in like your life, you've had this like really adventurous outside, like doing crazy, not crazy things, but like having kind of wild experiences. And, you know, in a way that's kind of like the thing that people see sometimes. They're like, I don't want to get tamed by like my family, you know, like I think that's like a cliche. It's like a weird cliche, but like, you know, like I don't want to get tamed by my family. And you're kind of living that fine line of trying to find where your like adventurous wildlife world, like wildland firefighter, like, you know, on the front lines type like life exists, along with this like raising two daughters thing, which is, you know, equally kind of adventurous, but very, very different type of adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was interesting. So early on, like when Annie and I, so Annie's my wife, and, you know, we found out, hey, we're going to have a kid, pregnant, super excited. You know, both of us had kind of been thinking about that for some time. And I remember, you know, like the birth, right? It was the most amazing thing ever. And we can kind of maybe go however you want to set it up, but long story short, like I was really excited about being a father, having a family, like family's always been a huge thing for me. And I never felt that kind of, I didn't want to have kids because it was gonna, you know, take my identity away and that whole thing. Now, you know, you fast forward 10, 12 years and yeah, like I think I've, and a little bit of it is career and just having just life in general kind of get out of balance and giving myself, like emptying my cup for so many years, and not just with family, but with, you know, career and job and everything else, to where, yeah, like that's probably a good, you know, a good way to describe it. I've never heard it said that way, like, you know, being tamed. and so there's like, yeah, that like inner me trying to, you know, figure out what adventures, like, you know, my identity as a man, as a father, right, as a, you know, as a boss, as an employee, like, you know, where do I fit in and who am I? And looking back, like a lot of that was defined by the crazy things I was doing. So yeah.
You know, I have this like weird thing where I'm not 100% sure. It's like there's no clarity to me how that sense of identity is best developed, right? Because you just listed off, I think, a very, very classic masculine man thing. You know, it's what do you do, right? It's like the first thing you ask another guy that you meet, you're like, you know, waiting in the line to go to the urinal at like a football game, and you're like, so what do you do, right? It's like you're basically trying to define this person, and we use that same, that like mirror on ourselves as well. What do you do? You know, who are you? Those are very similar questions. And the idea of looking for your identity and trying to find your sense of identity through your work, it feels like it's been culturally set into like who we are. You know what I mean? Like our parents were like that. Our parents' parents were like that. But I don't know if there was really any other options back then. And now that everything has kind of been exploded and like decoupled from one another, and you know, everyone's kind of like floating in this world of like Instagram and TikTok and work, and you know, not really sure what the next thing is going to be, I imagine it's really difficult to find or accept a sense of identity that doesn't necessarily couple you with like everything that comes along with that bucket of whatever it is that you would do otherwise.
Yeah. And I've always been like a super intense guy. So whatever I've done, I've, you know, my sights have always been on excelling and becoming a master of it. And so I think inherently it kind of, I don't know, lent itself to being unbalanced, right? Like pouring myself into that. And then, you know, every waking moment spent doing, you know, pursuing whatever I was pursuing at the time, yeah, it kind of took over an identity, you know. And so I like the way you talk about it, because I definitely relate to like the identity. I don't want to call it a crisis, because it's not, it's far
from, like, too dramatic. That's like too dramatic of a word for it.
Yeah. But there's this like angst, in terms of like, oh, who am I? And like, I meet people who don't know me or know me in my current context. Right. And they don't know about the past 30 years, you know? And then like, I have friends from like in my 20s that really don't understand what I'm doing now. And so it's been an interesting process in terms of like establishing relationships with others. And I think a lot of times, like, we define who we are, we find out who we are through the relationships we have. And so, yeah, it's interesting, you know, it's, you know, meeting new people, it's like, hey, what do you do? And it's like, oh, like, I hate that question. Because one, it's just hard for me to define. And I always feel like I'm giving an elevator pitch.
Yeah.
Which is just feels, you know, disingenuous, or incomplete. maybe that's a better way, right?
Yeah, it also doesn't, a lot of what work and career has become in the past 5 years or 10 years doesn't really fit into an easy description. You can't say I'm an accountant, I'm a lawyer, right. I'm a doctor, I'm a garbage man, I'm a gardener, whatever, right? Like, you can't really use those because that doesn't fit. I even, like, my own family, like my dad, we had dinner with like my entire family. I have two older brothers, they have kids, and my eldest nephew, he's 10. That's why I know about teenagers. He wants to be a YouTuber. He wants to have a YouTube channel. And he loves that I have a YouTube channel. Huge fan, does not care that it has nothing to do with any of his interests. As far as he's concerned, I have a YouTube channel and that's really cool. And I should be playing Minecraft or Roblox or whatever the name of the game is. Yeah. And he goes, at the dinner table, he says this. He says, I want to be a YouTuber when I grow up. And my dad, who knows what I do, is like, what's a YouTuber? So there's no, like, there's no real sense of understanding. Like, you can't communicate what it is that we do on a regular basis as our jobs, as an identifier anymore, because of how broad those terms have become. Maybe you lose something in that because there's no communication there, or maybe you gain something because then it forces you to think of things differently.
Yeah, there's a bunch of like preconceived ideas, right? I was a professional climber for a long time. And so it's like, oh, what do you do? I climb. And like, there's that like, well, what do you mean you climb? Like, and so like having to go into like what that means, right? Or, hey, like I'm a firefighter, right? And so how, like, I think a lot of the way I define myself is on things I've done. And I think the more things that I do, the harder it is to define myself to other people. And so honestly, I just don't even try. Like, and I don't, a lot of people don't know, that like I traveled the world climbing and I have like world speed records and like all this stuff, right? Because I don't talk about it because it's not, that's what I did. And it's not like I'm trying to hold on to that to define me, even though it has molded me into the person I am. And honestly, that's how I kind of feel with kids. It's like 13 years of being a father and trying to figure it out, because it's like I haven't figured it out yet. So it's I don't know, it's tough. I don't have an answer. I just know that like my efforts in trying to meet people is try to, what's important is what I do today, because what I did yesterday doesn't hold much water, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Even though it's made me who I am and helped me kind of cultivate the life I have. I mean, it's awesome, but especially with like my daughters, right? Like they know all these like phases in my life, and it doesn't, at the end of the day, it's like, I'm still dad. Right. And it's like, if I'm impatient one day, or, if we're having special, like it's all defined in the moment, which has made me really appreciate that. Right. So it's like, if I'm impatient and frustrated, like that's who I am. Right. And if I'm like, loving and just joyful and really in the moment, well, that's who I am at that moment. And it also makes it's like almost making it that much more difficult, because it's like, well, then am I like schizophrenic? Because it's like I'm changing every day, every week. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that like fatherhood, like being a parent, has brought out in me, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think there's, so I take notes while we have these conversations. I also have some notes from the call that we had earlier this week, just kind of catch up and stuff. But, there's a lot that you've said here that is really interesting to me. And, one of the things that you just said is like, there's like almost like an intensity and a sense of being present that you like feel things. I mean, I've been a dad for 2.5 months. So I think I've got a long journey ahead of me, and I know absolutely nothing about it at this point. But there's this sense that I have of this like just intensity of like a burning sun of like every moment. Like sometimes if I'm frustrated, it's like 1,000 times more frustrating than it has been. And if I'm like happy, it's 1,000 times happier than I've been. And if I'm like calm and serene, I feel like a Zen master. Like there's this really interesting, and I don't know if I would say that for me in those moments, that feels like it's a whole definition of who I am at that time. And it just feels really complete, as much as I would say that it just feels like those peaks and valleys have gotten taller and deeper just in the past 2.5 months.
Yeah. Well, I think they mean more. This is my experience, right? Like if I wasn't present, frustrated, or I fell short on something, like what did it really impact? Now I see my daughters, and like I see their emotional response. Like I see, you know, over the years, like creating this relationship, and for me, the impact is real, right? And so it's almost like I could ignore it, but I see it, right? And they don't care what I've done yesterday. They care about, you know, what are we doing together, or what's happening today. And just being a kid myself, and I think everyone can relate, like when I was young, like I had no like sense of time, and future and past was like, you know, all I really experienced was like this day-to-day presence, you know. And obviously as we get older, that kind of extends in both directions.
Yeah, it does. My mom came over last night. I just moved to LA. We just moved to LA, my wife and I, before we had the baby, to be closer to my family. My family's all out here. My mom came over yesterday and she was like, "So are you guys coming come over on Sunday? Remember I texted you 2 weeks ago about that thing in the afternoon." I was like, "I don't even know what day of the week it is. Like you're asking me the wrong question. Like I can't tell you. I literally could not tell you what you texted me an hour ago, much less what we planned on 2 weeks ago." So yeah, it does extend in each direction. There's a couple things that you mentioned earlier that I really want to touch on, because you know, I'm figuring this thing out, and not just the whole being a dad thing, but I'm also figuring out like being a man, being a husband, and being, you know, kind of creating this podcast, and the conversations that I've had helps shape what it ends up being. And one of the things that has come up a lot over the past handful of conversations and interviews that I've done is this idea of trying to figure out like how you fit into all the various roles that you have collected over the years. You know, first you were just yourself, right? And then you become part of a relationship. So then you have a partner. Then that's also, you know, your husband, and then you're a dad. And then that's all on top of what your work is and all the various things that come along with that, and finding, you know, your presence in all those different things, and finding yourself in all those different things without necessarily losing who you are to any single one of them or any group of them. And you had mentioned, you know, earlier this week, you had mentioned in this call, you'd said something along the lines of, you know, growing up and being an adult is a real challenge that nobody talks about, because you're essentially being defined by like your marriage, your career, or whatever, something that happens to you, whether it's like something really positive or something really negative. And then earlier, just maybe 5 minutes ago, you were saying that it's not exactly like a crisis of trying to figure this out. It's more of like this angst, these like rough edges. And the question that I have here is, do you think that that's just an eternal part of the process, that you just are constantly being ground across all these different rough edges for all these different roles and stuff, and you just kind of have to find your way to like fluidly slip between each one of them? Or is there actually a way of, you know, trying to say this is this,
and this is this, and this is how they interact, and that's it. And like, you know, here's how I fit into this equation.
Yeah, I wish it was like that, or at least I don't think so. I think it's messy. I think life is messy. Chances are, and maybe I'm completely wrong, but chances are, if it is that simple, like, you know, challenges, growth isn't growth is painful. What you know, good, bad, and different. Like it's uncomfortable. So yeah, I think that, and that's like the $1 million question.
Let's answer it. We'll split the profits.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's even hard to like pin down, like, okay, well, what is the actual question in there, right?
yeah.
So I know, like, for me, identity. So what comes to mind is like the classic like midlife crisis. And I think that maybe fits, and I've thought about that a lot in like the last, 5-7 years, and I'm no expert on like any of this, right? But I think at some point you have accumulated more like enough past memories, relationships, accomplishments, failures, all of this, right? And then there comes a time, and I think kids accelerate this. That's kind of my thought. And there comes a time when the future becomes a little bit more precious. And I think for me, it's accelerated because I'm not as fit as I was, right? And so like, I still have the same aspirations and the same things I want to do, but I'm physically incapable of doing. And so like, that is a harsh reality. And it's just one example. It could be, you know, in business, it could be in relationships, it could be whatever, right? I mean, obviously experiencing some, you know, tragic sickness, right? Health, I think, is a big, big catalyst to that. So, you know, I think something happens to where you realize the past has not, I don't want to say been wasted, but it's like, you know, youth is wasted on the young, that whole saying. which is how I feel, right? I'm like, man, like, I wish I would have like slowed down, smelled the flowers more. I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done this. And like, and not, it's not in regret. It's just looking at my current life and it's like, it's speeding by, right? I really want to like slow down and like enjoy it and, you know, make the most of it. And I think kids accelerate that, at least for me it has, because, man, I can't believe I have a 13-10-year-old, you know. And then I have my brother-in-law says and phrases his time in terms of summers left with his daughters. And I'm like, man, I have like 4 summers left with my daughter, right? And so like, that, you know, and it's something that when I was a new parent, I'm sure you've heard it a million times, oh, make sure you enjoy your kids, like make sure you take time and, you know, all of this stuff. And like, you know, intellectually, I know that. I'm like, yeah, I know it. But all this time's gone by and it's like, wow, like it's irreplaceable, you know, like when my kids were like 4 years old, it was like amazing. I mean, it's amazing now, but that time to me was so special. And I think there's this like this genuine innocence and watching a person develop into their own, and there's a personality and, you know, they can start choosing their own, making their own decisions. And now it's like my 13-year-old half the time doesn't want anything to do with me. You know, if I can get a conversation out of her, it's like success, you know, other than like the 1 or 2 word kind of disgruntled answers. And so so I think, like, you know, the midlife crisis of the realization that that all this time has gone by, and now all of a sudden it's like, wow, my time is limited. And then that becomes that much more precious, that much more important. And then, I don't know, it's almost like a, like scrambling to embrace it, you know, like that's kind of how I feel. And again, none of it's bad. Like, I've incredible life, like wouldn't trade anything, but there's this like sense of like wanting to make the most out of it. And a lot of that is only realized in the rearview mirror, unfortunately.
How can that get turned around? You know, have you found any ways of like embracing those fleeting moments more, you know, aggressively or more readily or more in a more like solid and permanent way, so that you can, you know, maybe look back on even just a time or an experience and think, you know what, I nailed that one, or I got that one right, or like I didn't, there was no wasted opportunity there.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think photographs and video is a big part of it. Especially now, like, I look at a photo when my kid was young, and I almost like relive a moment, right? With any photograph. And, you know, there's probably some nostalgia that's kind of like built in there, but I think that's the first thing that comes to mind, is like, take pictures, take videos. And then, you know, looking at last year's pictures, like, makes me, it just remind, it's a good reminder of saying, wow, like, that came and went, and then it's like today. So I think for me, that's probably something that's very simple, that again, I wish I'd taken more photographs, more video, like all that stuff. And then I think sharing in the experience of fatherhood, of kids, and hearing other people's stories and sharing your own stories, and kind of like, you know, going through it with other people, you know, other friends, you know, my wife, we do that a little bit. Yeah. So I think those two, like, that's what I try to do, you know? And then now, like, the way I try to take all that, and I was like, okay, well, what do I do with it? And it's like, now I'm just trying to take 5 minutes and just like be present, you know? And, you know, I'm in the midst of driving around, same with my wife, we're like driving everywhere for activities and sports and friends and like all this stuff. And I can't stand it. And I just try to remind myself, like, it's a good thing. Like, you know, just like those sleepless nights when you're going through it right now, like, those are amazing, even though, like, when you're running on 2 hours of sleep, it doesn't feel like it. Yeah, just, you know, making an effort. Yeah.
Did you have a peer group of, you know, other dads and other parents that you were able to like compare notes to, or is this kind of something that has happened? Because obviously, you know, I think it's very rare that somebody has a peer group that sticks with them for their entire lives. But, you know, you're talking about over the past 10, 13 years. Have you had a peer group of like other parents and other dads that you kind of like compare notes with?
So all like peer group is either their kids are way older or way younger. And so I'm in this, you know, with all my friends, I'm kind of in this weird spot where there's not a lot of, my peer group doesn't consist of, you know, 10, 12 year olds. You know, it's like, I have a bunch of friends who have, you know, 2, 4, 6 year olds. And then we have a ton of friends who, kids are like getting ready to graduate high school or already in college. And so it's kind of been a little bit of a lonely experience in that regard, which I think has been tough. And then, you know, it's like, okay, well, kids are in school, and it's like, okay, well, you know, let's have a new peer group. And I don't know, it's like you get older, it's harder to make friends, you know?
So much harder. It's so much harder. It's like, I don't know if I want to hang out with you. You don't seem like you're my type of people. This isn't it. Like,
right.
Fate brought us together because our kids are in the same class, but we do not need to be friends. And that is not going to, that makes sense. I don't know. Like, I don't know. The youth is wasted on the young thing.
It's so accurate.
I was just talking about this with, I want to say I was talking about it with John Woolley. Mm. It's like my older brother, he's only 6 years older than me, and he's been saying that exact phrase to me. So I'm 32. Mm-hmm. And so he's 38. He's been saying that phrase to me for 10 years. And I'm like, you're not even 30. I remember the first time he said it to me, I'm like, this is bullshit. Like, you can't say that because you're not in anywhere close to not being youth. Like, you yourself are currently youth. Like, this does not work. And now that I look back at it, it kind of feels like either he was trying to remind himself, because mm-hmm. I'm now around the same age that he was when he first started saying that. He is trying to remind himself of what that means, or he was just really trying so hard to get me to believe it, which I did not understand it at all.
Click for you? Like, when did that kind of phrase start to, you know, take form for you?
I think I don't know if I've yet crystallized it to, like, you know, really affect the way that I behave. And that's part of the reason why I like having these conversations, is because it shows me that it's possible, it's important, it's necessary. Like, I can actually sort of be more present. That's something that I have struggled with a lot. But it really kind of clicked, honestly, when I had my kid, like when my son was born and I was holding him and I was thinking about my dad at like my age, having a son, having his third son, and thinking about what my relationship is like with my parents and what, you know, my friends' relationships are like with their parents. And like, I have a couple of friends who all had, we all had the kids within a few months of each other. So, you know, it's just the perspective that came along with, here's a new human being that my wife and I created. My wife did most of the work, and, you know, we're responsible for him. We have like a vision that of the type of person we want him to be. We have an idea of the type of family life that we want to lead. And it's like, it comes into very stark contrast immediately how quickly he changes. It's like week to week. Like, this morning he woke up and I was like, you're different than you were last night. Like, you've like, something has happened overnight. Like, you went to sleep and a few hours later you woke up and you had a couple more creases and you're like smiling a little bit more and you're cooing a little bit differently. Something's changed in just this past few hours. And that acceleration of like my life experience by watching my son has kind of made me feel like, okay, if I can really hold on to this idea of like youth is wasted on the young, what would it have been like 10 years ago if I had believed that? Well, I should start doing that now so that 10 years from now I can look back and say, all right, I kind of got that right. I kind of did at least this one thing in the right direction.
No, that makes sense. I relate to that for sure. And then I think about like, well, what beliefs or what realizations am I going to have 10 years from now? And I really try to dig in and be like, how, you know, and it's like predicting the future. You just can't do it, you know?
No, it's almost impossible. I mean, you can come up with the things that are very convincing and you'll never know if you're accurate or not. You'll never know if you're right, but you can certainly convince yourself of a whole lot of things. You had mentioned earlier that you spent your entire life, you know, with excellence and mastery as sort of like your endeavor. Like you were just looking for mastery and excellence in all the things that you're going for. And I'm curious, did you find a way of applying that drive to parenthood? Like, you know, I haven't talked to a single dad who's been like, I nailed it. And thumbs up 100%. It's been so super cool. I didn't do anything wrong. And if someone did say that to me, I wouldn't believe them. But I wonder with like, you know, someone who obviously has been successful being process oriented in the past. I mean, how do you apply that to something as dynamic as a child?
I've never felt like such a failure as being a parent. And not that I've like, I don't think that I failed, but you can't define it. Like defining success isn't, yeah, it just doesn't, I don't think you can, or at least I haven't been able to, you know? Yeah, like everything else, like super proud of, you know, accomplished amazing things, like set out, you know, accomplished what I set out to do. And being a parent is just such a different experience for me. Like being a father and just, you know, constantly thinking back, oh, like, you know, I should have done this, or I wish I'd done this, or more of this, or less of that, is constantly, constantly there. And I would argue that that's probably for most people. Maybe not all the time, right? Ebbs and flows, but yeah, I mean, and I think that's been a really hard thing to digest, right? Because it's like a lot of my like self-worth has been on my accomplishments, right? Like, you know, I'm proud of what I've done, or the hard work I put into it. And then with being a father, I that is not what I feel, you know. You know, I feel a lot of pride when, you know, my daughter accomplishes something that she's been really working hard for, but I don't feel like, oh, it's because of me. I did that. Like, it's so far from the truth. Yeah. It's like, no. Like, she did that in spite of me. you know, and it's like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. And I think that's been the hardest thing. So if for me, like my, like I operated on like, okay, like we go back to the beginning of our conversation about defining who I am, right? Like, who am I? And how I defined myself was through accomplishments, right? And this sense of success and, yeah. And then all of a sudden, thrust into parenthood where that is so like far removed from my reality. And I think it deepens that question of like, well, who am I? Like, if I'm not accomplishing, like I don't think I can accomplish being a father. Like, you're just being a father, right? And yeah, so I think that that's been a big part of the like angst, if that makes sense. And everyone that I know, it's like everyone's in the same boat. You know, there's no manual. There's no like instruction manual. I've been trying to read books and stuff, but, you know, and a lot of it's good. Like, you know, implementing, you know, yeah, just.
Sorry to interrupt you there.
No, you're good. Go.
Go ahead. Finish that thought. Finish that thought. I'm just taking notes because I really like what you said, that you don't think you can accomplish. You accomplish fatherhood is just being a father. I love that quote.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
And I think being anything is messy because it's a process. It's like there is no, you know, first, second, third step. Okay, great. Like, now I'm done. And it's ever evolving. So by the time you figure it out, it's all changed.
Yeah, that's something I even in the past few weeks I've picked up. I feel like we'll have like two or three days where I'm like, I've got this. This kid's, yeah. I've 100% got his schedule down. I've got my wife's schedule down. I've got his sleep thing down. The dogs are good. We're in balance. And then like, you know, as humans do, he grows, he adapts, he evolves, he changes, he becomes more of a baby. And suddenly all of that like perfect balance that I had created is just turns out to be a house of cards and just is totally gone. And, you know, I think the idea of being driven by accomplishments or being defined by accomplishments, a necessary portion of that means that there's a finish line. There's a thing that you have done.
Yes.
Past tense. You did the thing. And fatherhood doesn't feel like that to me. And it sounds like what you're saying is it's not like that at all. There is no... You know, you can set, I guess, micro goals. We made it to the end of the day, or we made it to the end of the school year, or you graduated high school, or whatever types of goals you can set. But even after a certain point, your child's agency and autonomy is what got them across that finish line. So you can't really even take credit for like accomplishing that. You can't like check that box for yourself. You're not the one graduating high school. They're the one graduating high school. And I think there's an inherent and inherent issue that has to arise there, right? Of like, if you're defining yourself by accomplishment and there's nothing to accomplish here, there's just thing to do. You just do the thing. You wake up, you do the thing, you go to bed, you do it again tomorrow. Yeah. It has to have like a rough edge. It has to rub constantly in some way. Maybe not like negative all the time. Obviously, you know, if that's the case, there's something else going on, but like it has to be some sort of rub with just this idea of trying to like fit that hat on your head and trying to find out when you look in the mirror, you're like, who am I? Am I doing this right? What does all this, like, where does all this go? Is this the way it should be?
Yeah. When you, what comes to mind is being a business owner. I owned a gym for 10 years, right? And in the beginning of my experience with my business is like, I'd always try to like, you know, clear my list of things to do. Like, oh, this is what I need to do. And like, I got to get it all done. And for anybody who is, you know, entrepreneur, small business owner, or whatever, like it, that is so far from reality because that list, you never get it done. And it's really easy to kind of burn out in that same, really easy to burn out because you're just never done. And that's a lot of like what my experience with fatherhood is, a lot better than owning a small business for sure. And I think having a small business like helped me understand that too. You know, it's like, it's okay not to get everything done. Like, this is what I can do. I've done good. This is my day. Tomorrow's another day. And really kind of embracing a process versus a project. And I think that fatherhood is just that, right? Like, I can't go into it as a project. I have to go into it as a process, which means that, I mean, you know, my daughters aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. My wife's not perfect. You know, situations aren't perfect. All that being said, like, I wouldn't change anything over the last 13 years. You know, like, there isn't any moments that I'm like, oh, like, why did I do that? Or, you know, it's more along the lines of like, I wish I'd done more of that.
Interesting. So it's not necessarily a, you know, regret is like a really painful emotion to deal with. You know, I think there's a lot of people who go through really tragic circumstances that have like crippling regret, and getting through that, is probably one of the hardest things that anyone could do. I think there's a lot of people that go through that sort of thing. So I'm not sure, you know, if regret is the thing, right? There has to be a word, and I don't know what it is, of you know, you didn't get as much juice out of that squeeze as you could have, and looking back at it, as you should have or would have if you were to do it again, right? It's not exactly like a regret of something that happened as much as it's like, I just could have done this a little bit more or a little bit better or had a little bit more of this experience.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. Like regret, I think about like, oh, I want to go back and I want to change something because it didn't work. With being a father, it's like, I want to go back to apply what I know now to make things even better, right? Or to appreciate those moments that I think about often. And so it's not regret, because it's like, there's nothing really like bad happened. It's just like, I don't know what it's called.
What are those moments that you think about?
Oh man. There's not even like, yeah, I don't. So there's a whole bunch of moments. But like, I think about like, you know, where we used to live, like was little like kindergarten daycare, right? And used to walk my daughter there. And like that, those, you know, just the little hand and the excitement and like that, that's one that stands out. Like just taking time, like in my gym when no one was there, like playing Legos on the floor, like with my daughter. Even like going back to like when my old, it was the most amazing moment of my life. And it was like the first true, like first time that I truly experienced a love that I just didn't know existed.
When your eldest was born, is that what you said?
Yeah. And we didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. We didn't, we just, you know, we had two names. We're like, whatever. And it happened. And it was truly like awe inspiring. Like I couldn't even describe the emotions and everything. But obviously that, cause it's such a powerful experience, you know, and everything like fear, like, oh my God, like you're going to let me take this thing home now. Like what, like, and then I remember being in the parking lot, trying to put the car seat together, and the nurse having to come out and be like, let me help you. I'm like, thank God. Like, you know, like, yeah, it's just like little things like that. And then just even when they're older, you know, like a lot of, you know, we took a lot of time and did a lot of like adventures and road trips. And I wish that, I think that, I want to hold on to those experiences. And as we get older, right? So we get older and the memories fade. And that's what, like, it kind of breaks my heart, you know. I'm like, oh man, like that, you know. And there's no way to like, okay, something's happening now, like, oh, I'm gonna enjoy it more, be more present now, so it's longer lasting later. Like I don't think it works that way. Like it's just part of life, and that's part of that rough edge, right? Like that angst, that like that's how it is. And there is a sense of mourning, I think, being a father and watching your kids grow up, you know?
Do you talk to your wife or your friends about this experience? Like, do you talk to them about this feeling you have, or did I just like get you at like a moment?
Yeah.
And now we're having this conversation.
Yeah. You probably were that. Yeah. I maybe have mentioned it in passing, but it's an analytical conversation, right? I got a couple friends that we talk, but like they don't have kids. And so, you know, it's tough, or their kids are a lot younger, or, yeah, I don't know. It's not like I'm having these conversations every day.
So how do you balance out all of this with the idea that like you still have a wife that you love and a relationship that you also have to like foster? Like you have to actively be a loving husband. You know what I mean? Like that, the idea of like being able to do all these things, I don't know. I still am trying to figure out how anybody is able to like have a business, be a husband, be a dad, be a partner, be friends, be a son, be a brother. Like, you know, I don't understand how all those things fit together because, you know, I maybe I haven't studied it enough or I haven't seen it happen or I haven't practiced it. So like, how are you balancing out all those things?
I don't know. I mean, that's like the true answer is like, I don't know. I mean, a lot of it is my wife. My wife's like rock star. And like, if I had to do this alone, I would be like, my kids would be a mess. I'd be a mess. Like the house would be a mess. Like, I don't even know. Like, so I don't know. I mean, it's almost like I'm like, just feel lucky, you know? And I know that like, you know, you have kids and, you know, marriage is tough in its own. But when you start getting pulled in different directions and like my wife and I were like, yeah, we should have like date night once a week, you know? And like, we've said that for years and we kind of still don't. And we like still want to like, you know, make time for just her and I and to go do things, but it's hard, you know? I think the business was, I don't want to say regret because I hate that word, but the impact of trying to run a business and kids was probably the biggest impact. And obviously you need a job. Like if you don't have a job, you can stay home with your kids all day. Great. But you got a job. So like, you know, it's like 9 hours, 10 hours, 8 hours of the day that you're away from your kids and things like that. And that's hard, but that's, you know, that's one reason why I got out of, fire, right? Like I was a firefighter for many, many years in a way, like kind of, you know, took early retirement. I'll tell you the story. So we rented an RV and I'll probably get the ages a little off, but my oldest, she was like 6 and my youngest was like less than a year, like a year old. And we rented an RV and we're going to go to Disneyland. So we drove to Disneyland and we took a two-week trip, right? And this was in 2010 or something. You know, so I had these years of like being a wildland firefighter and, you know, I exclusively worked on a helicopter crew. So a lot of it would be like, hey, okay, I'm off to work. Like, I'll see you later. And I could not come home for dinner. I could be gone for 3 weeks. I could be home for dinner. I could get a call in the middle of the night and be like, okay, I'm driving to the base. Like, I'm out. And so there was this big, like I wanted to be part of my daughter's life and like being kind of pulled away from it was tough. I love my job, like, and I miss it in a lot of aspects for sure. But anyways, you fast forward to this road trip and there was something on this trip that I was just like, I'm not going back. Like, and there was like this instant decision. There was this clarity, and there was a conversation with my wife saying, how can we make this happen? I'd been like coaching CrossFit and in the CrossFit for some years. And so I was like, oh, well, and then I knew enough people, enough about it. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll start a gym and I'll make, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. I'll be like, you know, mobility all day, hang out with my family all day. Like, first of all, that's not how it works. So anybody who's thinking about a gym, far from
that's
the
not
reality.
It. Yeah, that is absolutely not it. Yeah, the only mobility work you're getting is when you're bending over to clean the toilets. That's it. That's
yeah. Oh, completely. But that was it. So there was this like, there was this active decision saying, you know what, like I don't want to be gone. I want to be part of my kids' lives more. And this is the way to do it. And needless did I know, having a small business was actually, it was just as, or if not more disruptive than me being in fire. And obviously like it was new, like, you know, looking back, like, you know, I didn't have any like real business experience, and I thought my leadership experience would translate. And I realized really early on that management is very different than leadership. You know, and then going through like the whole like growing pains of that, like wanting to get everything done, working way too much, like life is out of balance. You know, and I closed my gym a year ago, almost. And so it was the best thing I ever did. And now I'm able to like, you know, and even in the years leading up, like there was this conscious decision to, you know what, like, no, like I kind of learned to start to say no. And my family, like I was always thinking like, I'm going to build this thing so then I can have time with for my family. And that's actually I hear a lot of people saying that, you know, like, oh, I want to do this, so then this. And I think when it comes to, you know, being a father, which is a full-time job in itself, like learning how to do that and with family and with kids, like there is no, you know, if this, then that. It's just, it's happening, right?
Yeah, that's...
And again, these are my experiences. Like I'm sure people are having all sorts of different experiences, but yeah, this is kind of, it's tough.
What I'm thinking here is, you know, when people talk about like this XYZ, whatever, has been a massive problem in my life, or has been an issue, or has caused issues, or the ripple effects, secondary network effects, or second order effects, whatever, have been problems, right? Generally, they're talking about something that has like a really significant impact, 15, 20, 25% negative impact across the board. I'm making numbers up here, but you understand what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
You know, that's the type of like really bad, like meteor crash into your life type decision that ends up ripple down the line that you regret and want to change. And what it sounds like, especially what you said at the end there, which was like, you know, it's not build this in order to that, because you're going to miss that while you're building this.
Yeah.
It sounds like what the like difference here, like the knobs could turn one dial, like 1% or like 2% in one direction versus another, and it would be an almost not like a night and day difference, but it would be a feeling of having been more, you know, present, experienced more stuff, or turned something into something, you know, those adventures that you talked about, like having more of those. That's like a couple turns on the dial here and there. That's like, that's not even necessarily a huge thing. And, you know, my brother and I owned a gym for 5 years. And I know how, you know, it's like paying my coaches instead of paying myself, and working, you know, coaching 22 classes a week, as well as running managing the part-time team and like the crew and programming and this and that. And it's like, it's an impossible task to have. And my brother had a kid like within 3 months of us opening our doors. So he had his son, who's now the 10-year-old that wants to be a YouTuber like me. because apparently that's what I do. He had a son in July, and we had opened our doors in March. And so it's like, I don't know how he was even able to be there on a regular basis and like get that work done with like the way that, you know, it sort of like drains all of your energy. And I think that's something that any small business owner is going to feel, any entrepreneur who's like working on those things is going to feel, because it just takes so much of your energy. And I wonder if it really just does come down to, you know, maybe a couple of percentage points change in one direction or another is going to make a really big swing over time of what your, you know, memory is of that period of your life.
I would agree. And that's definitely a good way to kind of phrase it, because it's not like, you know, the creation of my gym destroyed my kid's life. It was far from it. But, you know, I think it goes back to like this desire, and again, not regret, but this desire to be able to go back and improve upon what was done. And I think with kids, it's magnified. As a father, like those things are magnified because they are much more impactful, right? Like if I, you know, if I don't have kids and I don't have anybody else in my life, like the stuff I do really only impacts myself, and I can put up with a lot of stuff, right? But to see that impact others, both good and bad, right? Like you see the impact in like a positive way and it's like, oh, like it's just as powerful as like, oh man, like, you know. Yeah.
From a selfish perspective, I'm curious, you know, you mentioned that you went on a lot of adventures with your daughters when they were younger and growing up. And that's one of the things that you cherish those memories. You mentioned that RV trip to go to Disneyland. What other things did you guys do? Because, you know, my wife also has a really like strong sense of adventure. We want to be able to spend time with our son. We want to, you know, hopefully, knock on wood, have more than one child, and having those types of experiences would be, you know, really, really meaningful, I think, for our lives. So I'm curious what else you guys did.
Early on, like my wife and I, like Annie and I, we specifically talked about how we wanted to continue our lives and include, you know, our daughters into what we do and not change our life to fit our daughter's life. And so that was like a very intentional thing, right? And so like my wife's a badass kayaker. You know, I like to climb. We like to go on road trips. Like we have a lot of adventures. And so, you know, like, I mean, good example is not really for me, but this is probably like one of the best examples is, you know, my wife, she went to go climb, Mount Whitney. Right. And so she took, you know, Tessa, who was super young, and like on this road trip, and, you know, had some friends, and, you know, Tessa hung out and went and did this and then came back. Like, for instance, we went to Yosemite. I spent a lot of time in Yosemite. So, you know, we've been there a couple times and taken my daughters climbing and just kind of trying to include them into, you know, into our life. You know, I have kind of family scattered all around the world. You know, family in Argentina and Spain and Europe and whatever. And so we've been to Spain a couple times. You know, meeting cousins and things like that. Yeah. So I think that was, you know, those were pretty amazing. Like this past summer, my daughters like went on a week long river trip, you know, kayak rafting, and they experienced that. It's a little bit harder now. Like they're older, they have, you know, facets of their own life and responsibilities that they're accumulating, you know, whether it's school or activities or sports. And so it's, you know, I think in the last year, there's a big shift, like a noticeable shift in like parent responsibility, parent energy, time. Like there's a shift. But yeah, like we did so many different things. I built out a Sprinter van, and that was a big, like 5 years ago, like bought this tin can and like kind of built most of it myself. And we, you know, we probably put, I don't know, 45, 50 days a year in that thing going places, you know, whether it's like overnight camping or like take 4 days to go here or whatever, maybe more, maybe like a good solid 60, if not more, but.
I am all ears for how you pulled that off, because that's not, to be fair, that's not the guy I am. Right. I am not that guy right now, but I would love to have that as like part of my repertoire. Like, yeah, we got the Sprinter van. You want to go for a 2 week road trip? Let's do it.
So, I mean, so Annie and I, we've always been like adventure going places, and we're like, okay, we got a family. It's that much harder to just to do it in a car. And then getting everything together and packing, like even for a weekend, was like this big ordeal. So we're like, we fantasized, and we had friends with like Sprinter vans or whatever. And it's like, everything's already in there. You know, you just bring a bag of clothes and you go, maybe stop off on the store on the way. And like, for us, we're like, okay, that's how we continue to do and kind of live this life. And so, yeah, 5-6 years ago, we looked in a Sprinter van. We put a deposit down, all this stuff, got cold feet. And we're like, oh, deposit's back. And then I spent the next year like fantasizing YouTube videos on like how to build things out. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I think I can do 90% of it. And so then, you know, a year later, we're like, okay, we're going to buy it. And yeah, literally like YouTube video, how-to videos, like step-by-step. And I am not that guy either in terms of like being able to like build out a van. And there's some things like the cabinets and things like that we had kind of outsourced, but yeah, it was the best thing ever. It's actually so we had that RV trip, and then it was like, I don't know, 9 years, no, not even like 7 years later, we had the Sprinter van. And I had a buddy who was like, I was putting like cedar shake slats on the roof to make it all look good. And I talked to a buddy. He's like, oh yeah, I did it in like 3 hours. It's super easy. Well, meanwhile, it's like 3 days later, I'm still out there like, oh my God, like I hate you. Why'd you tell me 4 hours? And it's like in the middle of it. So I can't stop. And we're supposed to leave for Disneyland like on a Thursday. And here it is like Sunday night. And I'm just like, oh my God, like please get this done. So long story short, like 6 p.m., I'm finally like, it's at a stopping point. Like, you know, just the roof is up, like lights kind of work. I built like a little bed out of 2x4s in the back, and it was like still kind of a tin can, you know. And 6 o'clock, like we all pile in, we're like, we're going. So we drove all night, right? And we got to LA. In like LA traffic, and it was just this desperate, like, oh my God, we just want to get there. And yeah, so we roll up Disneyland, everything, and we spend the day like not having slept for 24 hours, like amazing experience. I think I fell asleep in like the Small World ride or something, snoring like next to my daughter. It was pretty funny. But yeah, like you could do it.
I love it, dude. That's awesome. Yeah. I appreciate you sort of like sharing all these thoughts and experiences. I think one of the pieces of feedback that I've gotten just over the past couple of episodes that people have listened to at this point, is that it's cool to hear, conversations and analysis of this thing that we as a species have been doing for millions of years, like hundreds of thousands of years, like thousands and thousands of generations. And yet we're in a situation right now where it's like uniquely our experience of how to be dads. There isn't any other generation that could speak to us. Like, we can't ask our parents or our grandparents how to deal with screen time for our kids, because that never was a thing that they had to answer. And so the world that we're growing up in and the world that our kids are growing up in is so unique that it's refreshing, and it's really good for me because I'm a big like learn while doing guy, but I'm also a big learn by seeing other people do it or listening to other people who have done it. And it's like, it's just really nice to hear the sort of analysis and thoughts and like, you know, what works and what doesn't, and how does it feel to have gotten to this point, and looking back at the things you may or may not have done. And, you know, I really just appreciate the honesty, and I appreciate the conversation, Nick.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it for sure. And excited about what you're doing. I'll be listening to every episode, trying to get any little nuggets myself. So